In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Did our planet simply appear after a massive Big Bang, or are we the result of intelligent design?
As human beings, we've always been fascinated with the unknown. From space exploration to extraterrestrial life forms, religion, the occult, unknown historical facts to our very own planet and our origins as a species. Where did we come from? Who are we? What has been hidden from us?
On Revelations, we attempt to uncover and investigate some of the universe's biggest mysteries, as well as provide previously unknown details about some of the planet's most influential pop cultural icons and scientists. We'll even attempt to delve into the secret societies that possibly control everything from our finances, world governments, to some of the technological advancements we've made over the last century.
This is Revelations. The truth will be revealed. You must know.
Welcome, everyone. This is our premiere episode here of Revelations, and I'm your host, Gorilla Black, and I'm here with my man, Steele. And today we're going to talk about, are we living in the last days?
The book of Revelation, to be specific, and it's kind of profound because the name of our show is Revelations.
Revelations,
which means to reveal unknown facts.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and that's a beautiful, you know, title, so that a lot of you out there, y'all can definitely learn something new. You guys will be able to see different viewpoints of this topic that we're talking about and other topics in the future. And in these topics, we definitely want to reveal things that were hidden or things that previously you may not have known. So definitely.
Revelations. And you know, we've heard about the end of time since we were kids.
Right.
Our parents before us, their parents before them. You know, you heard we were all raised in the church. In the black church in specific, they preached fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone.
You know, it was, you know, God is going to come back one day and lay the wrath. And, you know, it was the scariest book of the Bible.
It definitely was a scary book. And, you know, any time that I've sat down and I've read the Bible, whenever you get to Revelations, it's a book that has so many different meanings, so many different interpretations. And over the years, theologians been able to sit down and talk about it on different levels. And I think with Revelations itself, man, it's a book of where in this time are we actually fulfilling those prophecies, you know? And when you look at the world events and the things that are going on, whether geopolitical conflict, whether you're looking at the financial system as a whole, and you're looking at all of these different things, and you turn the time back to when the book of Revelations was written, and you're looking at the present day now, things are looking like we are living in those last days still.
You know, plagues, rumors of war. I'm not going to go into, for several reasons, into what else it says, but, you know, just several things that we see going on today,
right,
man.
Right.
It looks like those times are here.
Well, we talked about this plague, and there's a plague right now, a wide, you know, spread, wide sweeping plague that continues to change, you know, ever so in the way that, you know, it's manifesting throughout every country. And you got to look at all of the people that have been affected by this plague. And so when you're looking at that and looking at the widespreadness of it and how it's affecting everything, geopolitical tensions, the, you know, how much pressure it's putting on the monetary system, mm-hmm. just alone here in the United States, and then you're looking abroad at all of the different countries and how it's all shaping up right now, and especially right now here in 2022. And I think, man, for real, you know, sitting down and researching and thinking about this and looking at, you know, older, you know, prophecies from Nostradamus and certain books that I've read over the years and so forth. And I mean, wow, it's astonishing, you know, some of the things that, you know, came to, you know, to
it came to light. Well, you know, it's going to get even crazier because it says in the Bible in specific that we will start seeing things manifest that we've never seen before. Like the government has just pretty much
came out and said that, yes, there are unidentified flying objects. There are UFOs. They even had the thing where the guys, and I'll find a link and put that in the description for all those people out there that want the truth. They had a thing where these guys were doing flight simulations. Right. They were doing flight simulations. Wow. And they came across some objects that were just moving in a manner which they've never seen before. I'm talking about going down, you know, flying horizontally and everything like that. And they said, well, what is this here? You know, so they had to address that.
Right. They definitely had to address it. And I think I seen that same footage. And it was on CBS, I think, in the morning. Mm-hmm. And pretty much these were pilots that were in the military and they seen these objects moving at this speed. And pretty much it was no way of hiding this information any longer. I think that, you know, certain world governments have even addressed it. And I think it's at that point to where, you know, you could just got to think about it. If you look at how many planets there could be, you know, scientists say that there are literally over 100 billion trillion possible planets. A 100 billion trillion. So you take that number in and think about it, and a lot of you out there, just 100 billion trillion, there has to be other possible life forms other than ours. And even if it's not as, you know, complex as ours with a brain and a physical body, you just got to look at even living organisms that could be throughout, just in the close galaxy that we're living in right now. So everything is a living, you know, thing, whether it be water,
we can't be so vain to say that if we discover a planet full of trees, that's a planet full of life.
A life. You know, exactly. It's a planet life form.
So
ain't no other way around.
You know, and it's probably better off for not having us up there, because it seems like we're the most destructive species on the planet.
Well, we're definitely destructive. And pretty much earlier, you know, while I was sitting down and I was just thinking about it, you know, and I seen a photo that was taken from space, and it was just showing the ice caps, and it was showing the globe, and it had previous maps of ice caps that were frozen, and you looking at them over the period of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years. And then you equate that how hot the atmosphere has gotten. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the rise in sea levels around the world. When you look at, you know, South Beach, those people literally every day are driving around in almost a foot to 2 feet of water. And they're estimating that it'll rise anywhere from 4 feet on a permanent level by 2030. So we looking at something, man, that's just so astronomically out there right now. Just think about it. Look at New Orleans. And so a lot of the levees that were there already, they were built around 1920. And so the sea level has rose so much when you look at a lot of different, you know, other places, third world countries, where they wait until the shoreline goes down and they're taking the coral and they're literally trying to build a wall to help protect their villages. Mm-hmm. This is not just here in the United States. This is globally around the world.
Yeah, it's a worldwide phenomenon right now. And the thing is, in America, we kind of got our blinders on to a lot of things because we don't pay attention. We're too busy worried about who said what about who, who's sleeping with who.
Right.
And we're really not looking at the news like our previous generations. We're really not staying plugged in to what's actually going on.
Right. And we're really not plugged in. And, you know, I'm looking at a lot of things. You know, I like to really be abreast with a lot of things on the financial levels and, you know, just understanding a lot of things that are going on. And, you know, one of the things that particularly stood out when you're looking out at a worldwide level financially, three of the biggest real estate companies literally are underwater in China. And one of those big companies is Evergrande, which pretty much has defaulted on some of their repay. And on top of that, there's two other big building companies behind them where their bonds have literally plunged. So they're on the brink of a Lehman Brothers moment right now. A lot of you who may not understand about 07, 08, a lot of you may be young. Lehman Brothers was this great big bank. And a lot of people didn't think that this bank would ever fail. And literally this bank collapsed. It collapsed. And you got to realize that this aggressive growth in China now has slowed all the way down. And they're on the precipice literally of a recession. You have literally 50 million empty apartments in mainland China. I say that word again, 50 million empty apartments. And this is alarming when we're talking about the world's second biggest economies.
Yeah, this is really bad. You know, what they said was that this is a pretty much a worldwide event. Too many people aren't talking about it for reasons like we said. You know, they're $300 billion in debt, and they failed to meet the interest payments to their investors.
Right.
So what's going to cause? It's going to cause a massive snowball effect.
Right.
It's going to cause, because those people aren't getting their money over here now, then they can't pay their debtors. And these are people that's not playing with a couple hundred thousand dollars.
No.
They're playing with millions of dollars.
Millions
of dollars. So this is going to be a snowball effect.
It's definitely going to be a snowball effect. What a lot of people not understanding is, and I'm going to go into it a little bit deeper, and it's crazy that you just brought that up, because literally we have a Fed and we have a Treasury. And so how this works is the Treasury pretty much tells the Fed, hey, we need $10 billion. This is an example. So what happens is the Fed sends over $10 billion to the Treasury. This is the Fed. This is the Treasury. So what ends up happening is the Treasury sends an IOU, which comes out to a bond or these notes and these bills. Mm-hmm. So what happens, the Fed and the Treasury get together and they sell these Treasury notes, these Treasury bills. Mm-hmm. But I want you guys to really understand what's going on. These countries like China, when you go into Walmart, most of the stuff that you see in that Walmart, it comes from China on those shelves. When you're going to buy a Kia or laptops or computers, they're coming from Korea and Japan. When you pull up to the gas station and you put that oil in your car, literally that's coming from a Saudi country, an Arab country. So when these people are being paid this money from the United States, they're in turn buying back those IOUs. So the Treasury sends that IOU to the Fed, and these foreign countries are taking the money that we're buying their products with, and they're buying these IOUs. So you have to understand, household debt reached $15 trillion. It's at $15 trillion. Worldwide global debt, economists are saying, is literally at $281 trillion.
Now, let me ask you this right here. We're talking about finances and facts, and I'm pretty sure people are going to have these questions. Why are finances so important as far as the return of Christ, as far as the end of days?
You got to look at it like this, because it's fitting into the narrative of what's really going on. When you're looking at the end of days, which we are on the precipice of, the financial centers of the world are dependent upon commerce, back and forth commerce. When and energy, commerce, and all of these things work together. Mm-hmm. Where you have one country that begins to lack more for resources, there starts to become aggression.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So the wars that we're seeing played out now, they're being played out on a financial level. But soon, as some of you probably already are seeing and looking at the news, you're seeing they're starting to form out into a physical play where now you have hostilities between Russia and Ukraine. You still have these diplomats now there at the Olympics and they're meeting. You have Putin and Xi meeting. You have all of these rising dignitaries on the East. Mm-hmm. And it says this in Revelation. It would be strong men from these different countries. They would meet together. They would come together. They would form together. So these strong men of the East, they're meeting together literally as we speak. And they're using it, you know, under the Olympics.
Yeah, bingo. And that's why I said for those people out there that may be wondering,
right,
why are they talking about this? I thought we were talking about the end of the world. No, it's a process.
Right.
Okay. Because it's I think everything is leading towards us getting a one world currency.
Right. It definitely is. And you have to understand, with it being a one world currency, you know, we're going close to that. What is it called in the book of Revelation? The mark of the beast. So we're getting to that point to where now you got to realize that 80% of all money that's flowing is not in a physical aspect. Mm-hmm. It's only 20% of the world's currency literally in physical form. The other 80% is digital. Mm-hmm. It's literally digital. You have it to where, you know, the history is also a part of us coming into the last days. So when you're looking at history, after World War II, there was the Bretton Woods Committee that was in Connecticut. And you had all of these dignitaries from all of these different countries. They met there. And at that time, they all decided that America would be the de facto currency of the world, because it was tied to the gold standard. What that meant was is that all of our dollars were tied to a piece of gold. A lot of y'all who out there who have parents, they save dollars because dollars meant gold. But what happened is that throughout history, we were fighting wars on two fronts. Lyndon Johnson was in office. And a lot of these outside countries, they were like, wait a minute, do they really got the gold to fund these dollars, just funding these wars? And so what they did is essentially they traded their gold back, their dollars back in for gold. And so in 1971, Nixon, he took us off what is known as the gold standard. And so now you have, from that point out, America's been running on a deficit. So you have to understand something. How long can our monetary system continue to print money that isn't money, print dollars after dollars after dollars to continue to support an economy. So it's starting to play out now with this plague. There is no end in sight. There's millions of people, over 900,000 deaths reportedly in the U.S. We're almost at 1 million deaths, literally, I think. So you have to understand how far reaching this is now. It's affecting everything, labor shortages, and it's continuing to go on and on and on. So with the economy, it's pretty much the backbone. And when you're looking at the United States, our currency is still the de facto currency of the world.
Yeah, it is, but it's going down steadily, because I remember at one time, the British pound has always been real powerful. I remember at one time it was almost 2-1 over the American dollar. We used to be way above the yen, but now we're kind of sitting right there. We almost pretty close. We almost neck and neck, right? So then you figure with all the stuff that we had going on, even here at home, they had the PPP loans, the bailouts, that everybody participated in except the people that needed them. Because I don't know no real business that was in trouble that was able to get those funds, but you had people next door making up corporations overnight. And all they getting funded for $100,000, you know.
Right,
so
right.
You have that. We playing with money that pretty much don't have no gold behind it, and its worth is not written the paper it's written on. It's like me and you having a money machine. We print money. We going out spending stuff. But when those are deposited, that's how you come up with the stuff that we got going on now.
Right.
The deflation. Remember, the housing market out here was really big at one time, and it just bubbled because they were selling townhouses.
Right.
You know, townhouse people were selling their homes for maybe. They had went up, like, you had a lot of houses getting appraised at $1 million that may have actually been worth $600,000-$700,000. People were going out buying them because they was giving loans to everybody and their mom at that time.
Yeah, and so when you looking at it, you know, a lot of y'all probably going into the stores, you seeing empty shelves. There's empty shelves, and if you haven't seen them, you can look all over social media and the pictures are everywhere, and you just got to look at it. So you got to understand something. With this global food shortage, prices literally are at the highest they've probably been in decades. Inflation is at a 32-year high. This is just literal. And so when you look at the rising cost of oil, coal, this is energy. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at energy and the prices of it and how much it's costing to produce your goods, it doesn't matter what it is, it's costing more money to produce goods.
Well, that's
literally all around the world.
Because see, finances, lack of finances lead to famine.
Yeah.
Then you have the the earthquakes.
Right.
The weather, these tsunamis we've been having. We just had one in California. They just had a tsunami warming in California.
Right.
Because of an earthquake. You know, not earthquake, a volcano that was in the water.
Right.
We just had that, you know, pestilence, plagues. Mm. We had that going on right now.
The last days.
So we almost pretty much here. And you know, the part of the Bible that they talk about, when they talk about the last days, they talk about the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And you have the Antichrist, this figure that's going to emerge, and it's going to be the best thing on the planet. Like, when the Antichrist comes, it ain't going to be no dude running around with horns on his head.
Exactly.
This is going to be a charismatic guy, and it's probably going to be the most charismatic guy, you know, Barack Obama type.
Yeah.
You know, when Barack first came into office, and I love Barack, I thought he might have been the Antichrist, though. I said, man, this dude is so cool, he might be the one that they were talking about, right? But I mentioned AI. A little bit before I said artificial intelligence, because this Antichrist is supposed to going to get shot and going to resurrect itself, and that's when he's going to lock up, so to speak.
Right, acting a fool. Right.
You know, we talk about artificial intelligence, man. We talk about the stuff that they, and pretty much it would have been considered heresy back in the day to talk about taking somebody's soul, their conscience, and transferring it, you know, conscious transference and all this stuff. I wonder sometimes if that's going to play into this whole thing, man.
You know, you got to look at the emerging technologies that's pretty much out there right now. You know, Elon Musk went out to say that they're developing a literal robot that will cost almost $10,000. And this robot will be very, very efficient. It could do all of these marvelous and technological things. Mm-hmm. When you're thinking about the actual chips that they're talking about putting in people's brains that will, you know, right now, it sounds like taboo. What I'm talking about may sound like taboo. But let's just think about it a little bit more. You have Facebook, which has developed this metaverse.
Yeah.
So right now, 80% of people are against anything being implanted in their head. Mm-hmm. But in a minute, we're going to be living in a virtual society through the metaverse. And there's trillions and trillions of dollars being invested by Fortune 500 companies, whether it be Nike, whether it be Redfin. You just think about all of these major global conglomerates that are partnering up to become a part of this worldwide metaverse. How offset will people be to put a chip in their head to have an advantage and be a human 2.0?
Well, it's all predictive programming. If you remember when this thing first started a few years ago,
right?
Didn't no one want to go outside and steal people? Like, you know, shout out to my boy Spitfire that's in the house tonight. He didn't want to come outside no more. He still don't go very many places, right?
Right.
So you had them getting prepared, people being prepared to follow instructions, stay in your house. Mm-hmm. Everybody stayed in the house. They were scared. You know, they spread this widespread. It was widespread fear and panic. Right. I was one of those people. I wasn't going outside.
Right.
I had people back in that time. Y'all wouldn't have been allowed over my house because I wouldn't let nobody come over. So it's called predictive programming. It's through social media, through the movies we watch, through the content we consume. They start getting you prepared slowly for things.
Right.
They just don't implement certain things. Now, you have some people out there now that's fighting for this stuff. It's like, right. No, I'm not doing this and that, but they are going to eventually be forced to do those things.
Right. Forced. Mm-hmm. It goes even back to not only that, but when you look at force. Mm-hmm. Force. When you look at even the money we spend, and I'm real big on that. Fiat in Latin means by decree, by the law. So by the law, you have to accept the money that I give you for your goods and services, which isn't money. It's a tender. It's an IOU. And let's just say you said, well, okay, you gave me this promissory note, but what is this promissory note? Whatever happens when the gig is up, what happens? See, this happened prior to Nixon when countries said, hey, they're giving us U.S. dollars, but they spending dollars like crazy. Wait a minute. Hey, you know what? Give us our gold. Mm-hmm. So earlier I just was speaking about all of these countries that sell us goods, then take the money that we give them and they buy our IOUs. Whatever happens when they say, hey, this is an IOU, we want our payment. We want our payment. We don't want no money. We want our gold. We want something greater of value than what you're giving us. The dollar is only because it's by decree here in this country. So when you're looking at a lot of the things that's going on, and you know, the United States is developing its own digital dollar right now. You have a digital yuan that's right now circulating throughout mainland China right now. Mm-hmm. You have all of this artificial technology pretty much throughout China that's surveilling every nook and cranny of the country.
And we have it here too as well. Don't get it twisted.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Don't think, have you ever noticed, probably I would say a good portion of this country, everybody got an iPhone.
Yeah.
I would look at my iPhone sometimes, I have it sitting on the table, and I'll look at that little thing at the bottom moving sometimes, and it's recording me, and I haven't gave the demand for it to record me, so it makes you wonder sometimes who is listening. And have you ever been on the phone with somebody and all of a sudden you hear somebody else talking?
Right. Wow.
And you'd be kind of like, who is that right. talking? Or you hear like somebody listening on another line or
exactly,
something like that,
exactly.
And it would hang up. So we're not, man. See, The biggest problem we have in this country is that we under this idea that we under a democracy and that we have freedom. No, we don't have freedom.
Right.
We're not really free.
Exactly. And there can't, you know, when people know the truth, I think that's true freedom. Yeah. Long as you can keep the wool over a lot of people's eyes, you know, that's a sort of, that's bondage. Because you can only be free through the truth. So you have to understand the NSA and all of these top, you know, government officials. They have to have insight and intel in their mind for national security on levels that's so big and so broad. You know, America definitely has its hands in all types of forms of espionage.
Yeah, but have you noticed this, though? And I'm sorry for cutting you off from a land or something, Rick, but you said America. When we talk about all this stuff happening, you know, we've had things happen on our own soil. We had the tragedy that was 9/11. We had the tragedy that was Katrina.
Right.
But outside of that, we haven't went through as many, we haven't had as many turbulent times as these other countries, you know, to where they may have cities and hundreds of thousands of people wiped out by tsunamis and other natural disasters, pestilence, right? I truly believe that we are kind of like the last stronghold because we are the biggest Christian nation. We are the biggest nation of Christians.
Right.
Christianity is thriving here.
Right.
You know, it's the number one religion in this country.
Correct.
You know, Catholicism, Christianity, you know, belief in the Trinity and all that, right? I think that we kind of have a covering over us, so to speak, and that covering is slowly dissipating, though.
Right. And you make so many great points in exactly what you just said. 60 years ago, there was a great famine in China. It was so bad that the people there were eating insects and boiling down leather.
And they some of the people still eating insects to this day because of that.
Yeah, think about it. They were eating insects and they were boiling down leather because they were very, very, they were starving. As we speak right now, it goes back. They are the number one buyers of maize, wheat, and rice around the world. Last year, China spent over $98 billion in food surplus, and in which they're storing in storehouses in their mountainous areas. How is it that a country buys almost enough food to feed half the world, and its population is only 18% of the world population? So these other countries have experienced hardship unlike anything. America hasn't never been on the brink of anything like that. Like our public roads and highways, that was our preparation around World War I when Eisenhower commissioned to build freeways. It's so that we can move goods and services and military. This is why the freeways were even created. That's as close as we had to a major catastrophic event here happening here in our mainland. So we haven't experienced anything like that. This is one of the biggest things that we've experienced is this plague that we're currently going through. You got to realize that there's a zero tolerance in Australia and China with this plague. Anyone that they literally are welding the door shut if they find anyone infected in that area with this. So
this is giving us all our answers right here. You got to go back to scripture, right? And I do believe that the Bible has been tainted. I believe that pieces have been taken out, you know, because they don't want us to see. Like you said, the biggest way to conceal stuff from people, man, is to tell them lies and feed them a bunch of lies and a bunch of other rhetoric. You know what I mean?
Right.
When you go back to Matthew 24:6, the way it says, "And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows."
Right.
All of that stuff is going on now, and
right
it's been
now.
Going on for a long time, but not to this level. Because remember I said earlier, America has always been kind of like, you know, you look at the news.
Sheltered.
Yeah, we would look at the news and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
In Africa, this is going on.
Right.
This is going on. Man, if you ask somebody in Egypt or Israel, one of those places in constant conflict, they probably thought the world ended 30 years ago.
Right. You just got to think about it. Look at Cuba. last year around June was the biggest mass protest since Castro was inaugurated as their dictator. And these people literally took to the streets in waves of young people. And literally, because in Cuba, there's a crisis that's so severe. Something that you and I here, maybe in America, we take for granted that we can literally walk into our CVS, we can walk into a Walgreens, and we can buy ibuprofen. You cannot walk in any store, shop in Cuba and buy this. Literally, there's people who have had major procedures in Cuba that do not have access to any medication. A lot of the medication that they are getting are from benefactors and people in Spain. You have countries right now like Kamarstan and Turkmenistan right now. They're protesting behind their food, you know, subsidies. Mm-hmm. It's a global thing that's going on. Add on to it with the shortages that's really going on. So, you know, I was sitting down and I was doing some research. And when you think about the food shortages, right now, Europe is dealing with literally the worst bird flu outbreak ever. In Israel, literally, it was 18,000 cases of bird flu in the birds that were there. The Ministry of Agriculture says that they will kill 500,000 chickens. 500,000. There's another 28,000 birds that are infected in Ireland, and another 39,000 birds that'll be culled in Bulgaria. And there was 2 reported bird flu cases here in the United States. But what's so crazy about that is that usually bird flu stays, you know, in Eurasia and is isolated to the area pretty much where it's at. When you want to look at things on this level of food shortage and how it's going to affect the globe, the farmer industry right now is struggling massively due to fertilizer shortage. And I know you like fertilizer. What has fertilizer got to do with any of this? Well, America's biggest crop, which is corn, is dependent on fertilizer, nitrogen fertilizer. You got to realize that half of the world's food is dependent on nitrogen fertilizer. The United States' biggest crop is corn. And I ain't talking about popcorn. I ain't talking about the corn you open up out of a can or corn on a cob. You don't realize how many products are made with corn. Corn makes pet food, shampoo, toothpaste, spark plugs, batteries, diapers, plastic products, vitamins, hand sanitizers, running shoes, Windex, deodorant. The list goes on and on and on of products that are made with corn. So when you get a bigger version of it, half of the products that's sitting around us right now was made with some type of corn. Period. When you look at the rise in food costs and you look at the rise in prices of fertilizer, most of the farmers here in the United States went to the DOJ as of recently and asked them to investigate to see if there was a, if the fertilizer companies had colluded together to keep raising the rates of fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Nitrogen fertilizer has literally saved 4 billion people on our planet from starvation. So this is a wide-reaching effect.
Yeah, it's a wide-reaching effect, man, but it goes so much bigger than that. See, I know it's people sitting out there wondering, like, okay, what does this have to do with the other? We're about to have a worldwide famine.
A worldwide famine.
And we have a worldwide famine. This will be the first time that it's really like, and it's really going to be a thing now where you're going to have the people, the wealthy, is going to continue eating. They're going to continue to have their resources. But what happens when their resources get so dire that no matter how much the money they got ain't worth, the paper is printed on?
Right.
Then what happens?
Right.
You have this. Then that's when you get me trying to go in this guy's house next door, the guy next door trying to come in my house.
Exactly.
You feel what I'm saying?
And we're on the verge of that.
Yeah, and we're on the verge of that, and we're much closer than we think, man. And I keep going back to our technology, man. If you notice, man, all of the most powerful people in the world, they've become very heavily invested in two things, AI and space travel.
Correct.
They're trying to figure out a way to get off this planet for some reason.
Well, that reason is resources.
Yeah, it's resources. It's
resources. Mm-hmm. The resources are literally being drained dry. You got to understand, most of these countries are pressured to go green at this point. Mm-hmm. You got to think, in California, they have a date now to outlaw pretty much fossil fuel vehicles. You got to understand the mandates. You got to realize in China right now, they're giving you almost $20,000 to have an electric car. Also, it costs in China to have a license almost $20,000.
The stuff that we don't think about. And I tell you, especially our people, we don't think about this stuff because we don't think it impacts us. We don't go out. We don't look at, we don't study our government.
Right.
You can, if you ask the average dude in the streets now and ask, hey, are we an oligarchy? Are we a democracy? They wouldn't even know.
Right.
They wouldn't even know. Are we a socialist party? You know,
exactly.
They wouldn't be able to give us an idea. All this stuff is important because it all comes back to the same conclusion. Right. It all comes back to the same center. We are at the precipice right now, man, of some pretty, pretty crazy times, man. Right. We will have starvation, man. We will have war going on. And it's going to be chaotic, man. It says in the last days there will be chaos.
In the last days. And so,
in the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Just think about, you know, a lot of the Coltranes that Nostradamus wrote. Think about some of the things that the ancient Mayans wrote and how their calendar had everything broken off in these cycles. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at all of these people from the past, they're predicting where we're at and where we're going right now. And a lot of the Coltranes, a lot of the things that Nostradamus said would actually come to fruition. When you're looking at global warming, when you're looking at resources, and then you look back to the book of Revelation. Think about it and think about the times that literally we're living in. And yeah, right now, you may not really be worried. You're able to wake up and, you know, hit that alarm clock. But you got to realize that that alarm clock was made in China. You may jump up out the bed and you may go make you a cup of coffee. Well, that coffee was processed in Costa Rica or Venezuela, or it came from Ethiopia that was shipped here. You may go into the refrigerator and conveniently open up a bottle of orange juice where the oranges were grown in Florida, packed, pressed, sent to another company, which where they put it in a bottle, they labeled it, got to your grocery store, and now it's in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. You may put on your glasses where the frames were made in Italy and the lenses were made in Germany. When you're looking at right now the global shortages of labor and the cost of energy, and right now the bottleneck, a lot of you probably have looked at the news and y'all said, oh, it's a bunch of boats out there in the Pacific Ocean waiting to be docked in or come in or whatever not. This creates problems unimaginable for you. You won't be able to walk in that store and buy that suit that may have been made in Taiwan. And so when you walk into the store next time and you see these empty shelves, I want you to think about this conversation that myself and Steele were having and ask yourself, literally, are we living in the last days? When was the last time you seen store shelves empty? And it's all around. If you go on social media right now, you can see all of these empty store shelves. Think about Australia right now and their shortage of all of the produce. Think about Canada. 90% of their produce is bought from us. Pretty much they said if you're not vaccinated, you can't enter through the Canada border.
Let's go back. One thing we don't want to do, we don't want to use that V word too much either.
Okay.
But one thing about the V word, right, they're making people get that again, predictive programming.
Right.
If you force people to just get used to accepting certain things, you become like sheep then.
Right.
And you don't question it. You get a situation where somebody says, we get a text on our phone, a mass text, everybody go down and get your shot. You know what I mean? Go get a shot. We go get to the point where we're not even asking questions no more. Well, what is this that I have to go get? You tell me I need to go get this. Right now, man, they can make, they have microchips, man, that are smaller than a grain of rice.
Right.
Than a typical grain of rice.
Right.
And let's say the market of BC, you got to remember the people that were writing the Bible were primitive people. They were having visions, right?
Right.
That they possibly couldn't decode. When I think of a mark of a beast, I don't think of nobody going to go brand a 666 in my head. No. That's going to be some kind of car, just like they're telling us. They're getting us used to it now. Again, predictive programming, when they traded the license in to where in another 6 months, I believe, you're going to have the real ID in order to internationally travel, that or your passport. Mm-hmm. When did that become an effect? Like, why is that important? Why can't I use my normal identification as good if the police put me over out here? Why do I need that to travel within my country? I can understand leaving the country, mm-hmm. but why do I need to have a car? That means that you want to be able to track where I'm going.
Exactly. Not only track it, but it's also going under that world order, the new order, the new world order. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that Xi said, the new world order, this new order. You know, Xi Jinping of China said this. So you have to understand that technology and all of these things have increased at a level so fast and so vast that there's no way that we're not all interconnected. And so to be able to track where we go, to and fro, what we buy, what we spend. Think about our social media platforms, and you were just talking about it today, just predictive programming. You got to understand what Facebook is. It's no more than a big tracking device. So
exactly.
When you go on Facebook and you press like, you may like these shoes, you may like her post, you may like these things. The API in Facebook pretty much keeps this data and this information. Why is it that you're able to go on this social media platform with over 22 billion registered users and over 16 billion walk on the platform daily for free.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing about these platforms we're talking about, right? Going back to artificial intelligence again, right? They have algorithms that determines what Gorilla Black likes,
right,
what Steel likes, what Spitfire likes, and they cater that towards us. If you ever notice certain videos that pop up on your phone,
yeah,
you could be going to a car dealership just to go get your car oil changed, right?
Right.
I swear, when you leave that car dealership later in that evening, when you come home and you look at your phone,
right,
you will have a million of ads targeted towards cars because they think you are shopping for a car. Always see looking for a car. Or you may see something, some other weird things like, okay, how is this happening right now? And when you think about it, you have to really take it back to the thing. They program us to keep us in there, to give us information, right? To tell us what they want us to know, to dictate to us. If you ever look at some of the kids today, they sit with their phone like this. Be at the dinner table. Back in the day, you had conversations at the dinner table. It wasn't no phones. It wasn't no cell phones. Now you have all your kids sitting there just like this the whole time.
Right.
And they're not really even doing nothing.
Right.
Like, I see my son sometimes just pick up his phone and just, like, something like, nobody called you. Ain't nothing changed in there. But he's stuck on the Instagram. My daughter is stuck on TikTok. All this stuff is very destructive because you're going to have those things feeding you information.
Right.
Feeding you information. And we don't know really what we're looking at when we look at these screens, man, because you know if you speed something up, you can give people subliminal suggestion.
Correct.
You can give people suggestion and implant stuff subconsciously in their mind to the point to where they think is their idea.
And I believe that. And you got to understand these platforms literally are tracking everything that we do, everything that we eat. When we post these things on there, this artificial intelligence is keeping all of this information. And so advertisers are paying for space in these social media platforms. Why? Because they understand, okay, he's looking for a new car. Oh, let me advertise to him. Mm-hmm. And how do I know? Because Facebook has what? The information. And when you're looking at an invaluable commodity, it's time first, then followed by what? Information and then leverage. So if you have the information, you pretty much, you're right there. So if this API is able to understand the post, the things that you're going to like, it makes it more easily and accessible for advertisers to sell these products. But not only that, but now you're looking at all of these social media platforms that are literally being interrogated by government officials about a lot of the different things that have happened, whether it be political or different ads or different things that have been ran throughout these social media platforms. And so you have to understand that this is data, tons and tons of data on not only Americans, but pretty much all of these countries are using these platforms.
The entire world.
Exactly.
The entire world is stuck on it. You know, and we've been talking about artificial intelligence a whole lot. You said that they're making a robot that's going to be around $10,000, right?
Right.
If it's starting off, it's just like, I got about maybe 8 plasma, not plasma TVs no more, 8 big screen TVs in my house.
Right.
I remember at a time when those things first came out, they was around $8,000 to $10,000, remember?
Right.
So that means that's the starting point right there. Eventually, they're going to have budget price robots and AI to come to your house, do housework, even babysit.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of single parent households, right?
Right.
Wouldn't that be something else to have somebody there, responsible AI there that we ain't got to worry about that AI being a pervert.
Right.
We ain't got to worry about him being a deviant. We ain't got to worry about him stealing nothing.
Exactly.
He's just going to be here, watch the baby, change the baby if it cries.
Right.
Pick her up, feed her, entertain her. This is a little kid. Don't let nobody in the house. You know, Right. Basic instructions. These things are going to become evolved to the point to where they can sit here and have conversations with me and you.
Exactly. And they're already doing this. I read an article about it. They started it with a lot of elderly homes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of elderly people are, you know, lonely people, you know. And so they started testing some of these robots with some of these elderly people. And they're able to have conversations with these robots. And this is almost 2-3 years ago. So just imagine that level, and imagine the level of AI that he's talking about.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, that's phenomenal in a sense, because literally you have our parents sitting here talking with a robot.
Now take that to maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now.
Right.
You can't tell me, man, when the Bible sees, let me go back to my scripture. I wrote a few notes, right? And you know, Revelations 13, 14, and 15, it talks about, because of the signs that was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. So the second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed.
Mm.
So that sounds like artificial intelligence to me,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
And they're talking about they already have these, well, I don't know, they nanobots or whatever, they can replicate. They pretty much can have offspring.
Right.
They can create other nanobots, right? So you think about this, right? It's pretty much saying that a being is going to be on this planet that's going to appear human at first. Somebody's going to figure it out, and so I'm going to go destroy the Antichrist and go probably gun him down or whatever. Something's going to come and reanimate him. He's going to be right there, and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, he's going to claim that he's the father of us all.
Right. You have to understand that in medical science right now, for instance, a lot of these surgeries that are taking place that are really, really intricate and detailed surgeries, they're doing it with robotic arms right now. When you look at the manufacturing sector, you know, vehicles, you know, you may think, oh, well, no, these vehicles pretty much are being put together by robotic arms. And the level of intricacy that they're using to actually put these car parts together, they're beyond anything that a human can do. They don't get tired. You know, they don't have to go pick up their kids from work. They don't got to go pick up, you know, some ground beef to make meatloaf. They can continue to work endless and endless cycles of hours. And they're computers that are learning. You got to think about the human brain. When man created AI, he wanted something to replicate himself. In the human brain, there's 100 trillion cells, connectors, more than they can count the stars in the universe. So this AI is beginning to learn faster and faster and faster and faster.
Until it surpasses us. And what happens once he surpasses us and figures out, and this sounds like something out of a horror movie. And again, predictive programming, because they've been only talking about this for the past 20 or 30 years, right?
Right.
You think about it. What happens when AI says, you know what? The biggest threat to this planet is human beings. And plus, I think they kind of scared of us right now. You got to remember. So before they pull the plug on us, we going to get rid of them.
Yeah. You got to realize how much AI is intertied in our daily lives on every aspect. I just said previously that 80% of our money is moved digitally.
Digitally. Ain't no such thing as
moving. So when you're looking at Wall Street, those are literal bots. They're AI technology that's buying, trading, selling stocks, shares, commodities, oils, everything that you could think about. This is AI that is literally controlling our money, our economy, on every aspect and every level. So Elon Musk said that this year would be the year of the autonomous vehicle. He foresees in the foreseeable future that our vehicles will literally be able to pull up while we're laying in the bed with the wife and the kids and sitting back watching a movie or whatever, and be able to leave and actually go pick up someone, drop them off, and literally create passive income and pull back up into the driveway.
Mm-hmm. And they all, you know where this started at, man? This started at Black. You just got out 2 years ago, right?
I'm out now. I'm close to 15 months.
15 months, okay. So there was a time, man, where, you know, I've been going to the same, you know, my kids, we lived in the same area, man, we raised our kids in the same town, right?
Right.
I saw the grocery store I go to that we purchase our goods from go from having all of these tellers that I got, these cashiers that I've been used to seeing. They always become like members of your family. Hey, Betty, how you doing? You there shopping? Betty has been replaced by automatic scan thing now. If you go to the, what's the big store? If you go to Costco now, you don't even have to wait in the long line. You can just punch your, you know, scan your items on your phone right. and pay for everything on your phone and just walk out, right? Right. So pretty much they're replacing the workforce with those things, right? Right? It's the same thing. And I'm going to tell you, man, and this is all not new, man. From the moment they start shutting all the plants down in Detroit and all the stuff, you know, the farms, now the, you know, the farmers having a hard time in the Midwest and everything, everything is going to eventually be replaced by AI. That's how they're going to get us comfortable.
Right.
By us going to the grocery store and there's somebody there, thank you, have a nice day. Because I'm going to tell you what, people go figure it's going to be real easy to integrate. The cost is going to go down. It's going to get cheaper. The more something is used, the cheaper it becomes, right?
Right.
So what's going to happen, you're going to have this guy that owns a restaurant. He may say, you know what? Give me five of them robots because them motherfuckers don't call in sick.
Right.
They don't give customers attitude.
Right.
They don't call off. They don't have to take vacation. And I could work my this robot from these five robots from 6 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night when it closes. They don't need a break. Why would I? If I own a business, I'm going to build some of them. So why shouldn't somebody else? But they're going to get us so comfortable with that stuff
right.
to where it becomes a lexicon in the day of our lives. It becomes a normal routine.
A normal routine. Just take, for instance, your experience at the grocery store. My experience at the grocery store. Literally, I leave my apartment. I go around the corner. I go into Ralph's. There's 8 of those literal checkouts. There's one woman there. And she stands there to give you bags.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's it.
It's more of those scan checkouts than it is actual attendance at cash registers.
Yeah, you go to those stores, you don't get that human reaction no more.
No.
And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen too. Law enforcement. See, all of this stuff is kind of setting up for this. They're going to have a reason to do all this. Law enforcement. Okay. The cities are losing too much money because right now they're busting these crooked police officers doing stuff, putting their hands on people, mm-hmm. stealing, planting dope on people. They're busting people, right? Pretty soon, what's to stop them? They already got automated cars. What's to stop them from dispatching some robots now and just going to go say, hello, Mr. Steele, you were speeding. Here's a ticket. Bye-bye.
Right.
If I cuss that robot out, he don't give a damn. He just go leave my ticket for me. He go scan the back of my license plate, yeah. my ID card, and he go get on because he doesn't have those human emotions, right? So he right. don't care. Now, we've already said that these nanobots are able to replicate themselves.
Right.
What happens when them dudes click up and start thinking like, man, we here with these inferior monkeys pretty much. They're telling us what to do and they ain't shit no way.
Right. Let's so you got to understand this nanotechnology right now. They're using this technology right now, and they're implanting it. And it's able to go in, and it's able to clear our arteries. It's able to see potential health risks that we have. These small nanobots. Mm-hmm. And they're able to now, they want them to replicate and think. Think. They want them to have be able to be problem solvers. Mm-hmm. Again, when we get to that moment, we're going to be living literally in those last days, and we're here literally right now. And so it's so crazy that you say this, because you got to understand, you know, you take for instance, when you get in your car has a light that blinks if someone is in the blind spot. That's a form of AI. You look on the dash, it's a GPS. You got to think, we grew up in the late 80s and 90s still. I didn't see a cell phone until 2000. You got to think. Our children have been raised with a phone.
They've been born. I'm going to tell you this. I bought my daughter. My daughter is my youngest child. She got her first cell phone when she was 5 when she went to kindergarten. Now, she didn't have a phone to where she can just call a bunch of people. It was 2 buttons on there. She can call her mom and me.
Right.
That was it, you know, right. And that was it. But you figure she's 5 years old and had a cell phone. So a cell phone is almost like it's become a necessity to the point to where if you don't have a cell phone, you almost can't function in society now.
You can't. And, you know, I think I told you about when I first, you know, I was released, and I never forget, I was at the Santa Maria bus station and I walked almost 15 blocks. And when I walked in, I went into a CVS. Yeah. And literally, they had a phone literally in the package right there. And now, remind you, I've been gone close to a decade. I open it up, and it's like this technological advancement out of this world. You know, just recently, like I told you, I just found a new feature. My son showed me 4K. And I'm still amazed.
Yeah, I'm glad because you called me and I was like, well, Black, that's been around for a while. But then I had to remember, I said, my man been locked up for a minute.
Right.
He's not up on this.
And so I'm not even up on it. And so when, you know, Hot, you know, called me and my brother called me, he said, Black, you got to get an iPhone. And, you know, I haven't updated my iPhone because I'm still learning stuff on it as we speak. Like, you know, Spit told me today, if you want to shoot a movie on this, you can use this iPhone 13 and you can literally, so I'm still learning and seeing how advanced that this technology is, and it can be able to scan barcodes and you can order rides. And so imagine, you know, I've lived on pretty much an island in a federal facility. So to be able to see, it was like I was in a time capsule, and coming out, it looks scary. It looks like the last days because a lot of the stuff didn't exist. I'm coming from 2012 and walking into 2020, you know, around that time, the guy said, them Buck Rogers numbers. And I remember we was like, you get out when? Oh, 2020, 2021. Oh, them some Buck Rogers numbers. And it took a minute because he was an older cat, but I understood what he was talking about when he said Buck Rogers. A lot of y'all out there may not know what Buck Rogers was, the future for cats.
Buck Rogers was a fictional sci-fi character.
Exactly.
From the Adventures of Buck Rogers. I used to be a fan of that right there. You know, speaking of Buck Rogers, I'm trying to stick as much because there are many different religions out there that talk about the end of the world.
Right.
And I found a thing to be profound is that they all pretty much say the same thing. You know, in Revelation 6:12, we were talking about anomalies in the sky, you know, aliens, whatever it is, UFOs.
Right.
And you know, Revelation 6:12 said, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and see, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And Job 2:30-31 says, and I will show you wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood of fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Jehovah comes.
Mm.
So that's pretty much telling you, you know, and that could be interpreted as different things, you know, that the sun becomes black. That could be it being blocked out by something because, you know, in the Revelations, it talks about, and I don't want to get too...
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Spiritual and stuff, but this is stuff that's, you know, real. They've been talking about this, and it's all, you know, based on based on the things that we've seen so far going in the world. It seems like it's highly possible.
It's very highly possible. You know, China just flew a hypersonic device literally around the world. A hypersonic device around the world. And when America technology had figured out what it did, it, the rest of the world had figured out what it did. Just imagine this. Nobody realized it broke all, you know, the borders and everything, and hypersonically traveled around the world.
And how long did it take them to get around the world?
To be honest, I don't know, but it was so quick and it was so fast the way that they did it. And it was done, and America was in uproar behind it, and a lot of other countries in the EU, because China had flew this hypersonic device.
Yeah, and we don't know how that's going to pick the atmosphere or nothing like that. Exactly. We're moving that fast. You don't know how that can impact the planet. But let me tell you this, though, right? You know, going back to our Revelation scriptures and stuff like that, right? You know, it talks about New Jerusalem and Revelations, right?
Right.
You know, New Jerusalem becoming God. And the way it describes it, it almost sounds like a spaceship.
It does. It
so
really does.
So when I imagine the sun being blocked out, I just picture some big massive structure coming this, just so, like, you know, you watch the sci-fi movies and you see the people looking up like, oh my God.
Right.
And it's getting dark because they see this big structure like, it's coming on the planet. Because we had this talk of, you know, that possibly being a spaceship, right?
Yeah.
You know, we heard this stuff about Planet Nibiru.
Nibiru.
You know, Planet Nibiru that comes back. You know, who's to say, because in the rapture, this is what it says in the Bible.
Right.
Everybody, all the people that pretty much are followers of Christ are going to be beamed up.
Right.
And it's going to disappear.
And what's so crazy is that it describes the dimensions of this possible New Jerusalem or vessel.
Exactly. It sounds like a vessel, right?
And what it should be made of, and the diameters and the materials. And it does. I know a lot of you people out there, like, man, you know what, that y'all going weird. Open up your Bible and you'll see the dynamics and the ratios and the materials that are used in this new Zion that is to come to earth. And God said, my people shall live with me. You got to look at ancient Mesopotamia and the things that they were talking about, that, you know, the Anunnaki came down and the people became slaves and mined gold for them. And so, okay, you may say, well, this is a little way sci-fi. You go out, guys are going into this whole other degree. Well, think about it.
No, we gave them scripture. I gave these people, I gave everybody scripture.
Right.
This is not nothing. To me, you almost can't be Christian unless you're just being really just arrogant.
Right.
And just don't want to hear nothing. You just want to stay close-minded. This all is in the Bible. You can't look at the Bible and say that this don't sound like some kind of like extraterrestrial stuff almost.
Well, you got to realize something. When you look at ancient history, you have to understand that the blocks there at Giza were 2 tons. So we're talking about a people literally in the middle of the desert, wore little small dresses over their private areas. There was literally no trees really other than a few palm trees, are able to move 2-ton boulders, specifically and align them with the stars, with no understanding of mathematics, but able to put this and align it with the stars in the heaven and make these structural wonders and do this with primitive technology.
Unless they didn't have a remedial knowledge of mathematics. They probably had a superior knowledge of mathematics, and we may have been taught that they had a primitive level, but it, you know, I imagine those people were pretty smart.
Oh, they had to be. Think about it. Think about all of the ancient cultures. The ancient Mayans predicted the end of the world. These people were calculated, and they were very, very particular. And they invented the concept of zero. Zero. We look at zeros every day, and every day, you know, mathematics and things like that. But how do some ancient people literally living in the jungles come up with the concept of zero? You have to understand something. And you have to look at it and understand it to the degree of that maybe there's a lot of understanding and technology and mathematics and the way that they harnessed energy that is primitive to us and that we still don't have the understanding of. And the way that they were able to write hieroglyphics and the way that they were able to carve these inscriptions in pure granite. Do you know how hard granite is? Literally. Mm-hmm. Granite. Do you know, without modern construction equipment, how hard it would be to actually go and create another? With modern, if we said, okay, me and you still, we finna go build us a pyramid. We got dump trucks, we got cranes, we got backhoes. Imagine the logistical nightmares that you and I would face with a crew. Exactly. To build that.
You know, it's hard enough today even to build that type of stuff. You know, we're going through these signs and cycles, man, because again, we're talking about revelations, the end of the world, right? One of the other signs, man, it says that, you know, the church will become desolate and people would pretty much stop believing in God. Hmm. You know, you go get a lot of believers that turn stale, like, oh, man, well, maybe I don't believe that no more. Maybe that's not this. Are you seeing that personally today? Do you think people have the respect and love for God that they once had?
I don't believe they do, because a lot of people are coming to the grips of that religion is man-made. Mm-hmm. And when you start taking something that is of a wonder and how big God is, God is this omnipresence, everything and everything all around us, in trees and life and the water. Mm-hmm. And when you start saying that, well, God is this, then it becomes in a man-made type thing. Well, you have to serve God this way. You have to serve God this way. And so when you're looking around in society, people are becoming to the point to where they're becoming godless because they're realizing that, okay, I have to do this. I have to do that. You know, when you look at the Bible, Christ said, I am the way and the life. I'm a way of life. You know?
Well, you know what, man? We live in different times because we had grandparents. You know, I was raised in the church, as are many people in the African American community.
Right.
And I think people just lose their way sometimes. And it's not necessarily that you have to go to church every Sunday,
right,
you know, or be the most perfect person in the world, because I'm far from perfect. I go to church and stuff, but I'm not perfect.
Right.
I curse.
Right.
I do other stuff that I shouldn't do. I don't think I'm a bad person, but that's why you go to church, to pray for all that stuff. You pray, you know, ask for forgiveness for all that, because we all fall short of the glory. But I think a lot of people today are being raised that it's all about them.
Right.
There's no, you know, and that's vanity and arrogance. That's man's hubris, you know, to think, oh, I'm the supreme being. Ain't nobody up there.
Right.
That's some BS. That's some bull. You know what I mean? Because we was raised that way, man. So what I tell everybody is go do your own research.
Right.
Go do your own research. Study your own thing. Because the thing is, man, we came up under that fire and brimstone kind of preaching, right?
Right.
And you got a lot of people that are looking at the pastor and looking at him like he's not a man.
Right.
They look at the mistakes he make and they may say, well, you know what? I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrisy.
Right.
You know, it's full of hypocrisy. So people get turned off from it. And I do think that the younger people today aren't into as the word of God as much as we were, because even if we wasn't the most holy and sanctified people back in our day, we still had a respect for God. You wouldn't have nobody playing with God.
Right. And I think what it is that generational gap that's there of, you know, again, we talked about these cell phones and how they inundate every aspect of even our lives, and we older. And imagine we grew up in this time with a phone our whole lives. Imagine us growing up in this time. They're looking at the world from a total different aspect than we looked at the world from that day and age. You add on to that, you know, with me being incarcerated, it opened up my mind to read the Quran, to study Taoism, to study Buddha, to study Christianity, to study all of these things. And I realized that God is too big for one thing. You can't say, oh, God is this. When you look at all things, you see God. That's how I looked at it, because I used to sit down and I had a friend and he used to pray in Arabic. Right. And, you know, when they become, what is the guy called? He's the head of he's the head of all of the Muslims. I forgot exactly what he's called, but he knew the Bible. He could say it literally. He knew it.
He knew it verbatim.
He knew the Quran verbatim. Mm-hmm. They have to know it by memory and they sing it in a song. It's a song. And it just sounds so beautiful to me. And, you know, I'm a person that's read the Bible my whole life. I've read it four times, cover to cover, literally. And I said, why does it sound so beautiful? Because I think that God transcends religion.
Well, you know, God says that in the Bible, that he doesn't want us to be religious.
Exactly.
Not to be religious, because you have a lot of people, man. I'm going to tell you, it says that in the Bible, too, that, you know, the path to hell, man, it's going to have a lot of preachers in there. That's, you know, the whole thing will be, I led millions of people to you. But that don't mean that you necessarily was doing right yourself.
It says in there in Revelation that they'll be doing wonders and signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it you know, when you think about it and you look at it, you know, there's a story in the Bible where his name was Barabbas or Barbas. And he seen, you know, Peter doing these miracles. Mm-hmm. And he came up to Peter and offered him money to teach him. And Peter rebuked him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, you can't buy that. And so he understood, you know, he was like, wait a minute. Wait, I'm my bad about that. But he wanted to buy the power of the Lord, you mm-hmm. know. So it was just, it's this, you know, funny thing that, you know, when you're looking at religion and you begin to, you know, put religion over people, I think that people are having an awakening, and that spiritual awakening is that it's just bigger than being under a religion. It's a way of life. And I think more than anything, God wants us to have, you know, a relationship with him.
You know, and that's what I say. And that's great, but that can get dangerous too, because mm-hmm. we all have to have a discerning spirit, right?
Right.
Because that's how people get caught up in cults.
Right.
And all kind of stuff, looking for stuff. It's very important that we do our own science, man. That right. we study our own math and study stuff, because some stuff you can listen to, and I appreciate everybody. One thing about it is I have an appreciation mm-hmm. for everybody's religion. I've never tried to talk to no one. I've never tried to talk down to someone.
Right.
When they tell me, if somebody came to me and told me they worship that couch, I would kind of chuckle to myself on the inside, but I wouldn't necessarily say nothing bad to them, because that's their personal choice.
Exactly.
I would share with them some of the things that I know, because I wouldn't want one of my friends walking around and talk about they worship a couch.
Right.
You know, but that's one of the signs of the end of times too, that, you know, the appearance of false gods, you know. It says in Matthew 24:4-5, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's prophecy. You know, false Christs have appeared in many places, countries such as, you know, China, South Korea, and Japan. There's been people that thought that they've seen Christ. You know, been people right. come representing themselves as Jesus Christ already, you know.
And right.
You get people, and that's how you get these dangerous situations, man, like mm-hmm. the David Koresh dude.
Right.
And all these different people.
And you let all of people, those people, Jim Jones.
You know, the Jim all, Jones cat, all these different people. So you have to be careful, man. And it's all about using common sense, man, because I'm not no weird, spooky Christian dude, man. And right. I think there are a lot of weird, spooky people out there
right.
that take stuff and they start perverting the word of God into right. something that has meaning. Oh, well, that means I'll take that as a sign that it means for me to do this and that. No, mm-hmm. that's just your own feeble mind telling you to do that. God right. told you to do that.
Right, right. You know, when you begin to think about interpretation, and there's so many different interpretations, not only with Christianity, there's so many different interpretations even in Islam. And Islam is broken up in different sects. Again, when it comes under that religion, interpretation and the way that people interpret things, you'll see these great theologians and they'll interpret Acts 2 and 38. You'll see other people interpret it differently. You'll see where at one point even, you know, the King Henry VII, he separated and pretty much the church went Protestant mm-hmm. and separated from the Roman Catholic Church. So this becomes real, real, real dangerous, like mm-hmm. you said, because of people's interpretations. So the thing of it is that in this day and age and in this time, you know, you said something that's imperative, that people do research, that people become more open-minded. And that's the way that I approach things. I try to look at things from a view outside of myself.
You we know, have to.
And I come to the understanding that there's three sides to a coin. There's heads, there's tails, and then there's the edge. And a lot of people don't understand how big the edge of the coin is, because you have the ability to look at both sides of the paradigm shift. So you're not just caught in one way of thinking about it. And yes, when you're looking at some of the prophetic things that were spoken about in Revelations, and you're looking at today and a lot of the things that we just discussed.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
We are living in some times that are very, very troubling. And every ancient, you know, culture and society has spoken about this. And actually, we're living in it as we speak. So, yeah.
Live and in living color. You know, and that's the biggest thing. Again, go out and do your own research. Don't just listen. Don't just take our word for it. Don't take his word for it. Don't take my word for it. Go out and read. You know, it's a lot of different there's a lot of different resources out there, man. A lot of really interesting reading material. And one thing that I wanted to say, man, is that the biggest thing of it, you know, the biggest sign, man, the return of Christ is the restoration of Israel.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Restoration of Israel. You know, again, Matthew 24:32-33. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So likewise, when you should see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
Right.
You know, when Israel is the store, that's when they say the Lord's day would be near.
Right.
You know, and Israel was restored on May 14th, 1948.
Exactly.
So that prophecy has been fulfilled already.
Exactly.
And the thing about prophecy, you know, I used to hear my grandmother, you know, whenever something happened, oh yeah, God is coming back soon. You know, it got to the point where I would be spooked when I was a little kid, like, man, let me make sure I'm right. I stole that pack of cookies at school. I don't want to be left behind, you know? I don't want to be left behind, but I think, like you said, man, we have to use common sense too. Mm-hmm. I think when we talk about these signs, man, that they come like this, you know, one stage complete. Mm-hmm. Because again, we're talking about God's time. God says we don't know the time, the day,
or the hour. Thing,
and can't no man
he
tell.
He said, I'll be like a thief in the night.
Yeah, like a thief in the night. So we're not here to tell you that we know. I'm not even going to put that on me, you know.
Exactly.
That I know when God is coming back, when Christ will return. But I think that, man, all of these signs, we just got to stay ready, bro.
Yeah, we definitely got to stay ready. And more than anything, you know, you can really look at some of the things, if you turn on your television and you can see some of the things that are being said. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, it just rolls off, you know, their shoulder or whatever not. But when you're looking at the bigger effects of what's being said and what's going on in this day and age and what's, you know, actually happening, it's really, 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 it's really, really big, you know. You know, some of the things that just came across, you know, and I was just really sitting down, you know, as a nation right now, we're on the verge of an epidemic eviction crisis. And for the first time, Americans have topped a whopping almost $15 trillion in household debt. So it's so, so big. And when you look at all of the medical debt and, you know, all of the credit card debt that's being took on due to a lot of the, you know, plague assistance and the multiple stimulus checks that's going out there and the payout. This is just a drop in the bucket when you look at all of the financial pain that a lot of Americans right now are wedged beneath. And so according to the Federal Reserve in Philadelphia, there was a 70% increase in Americans paying their rent with credit cards last year. The National Council of State Housing Agency said that the data showed that the back rents alone from January 2021 ranged from $8.4 billion to $56.2 billion.
Wow, and I know a lot of the people, because of the plague, a lot of people were getting stays in their homes where they didn't have to pay rent, nor could their landlord come and kick them out.
Right.
So just imagine, see, all this stuff ties in. We talk about our guys over in Asia. Mm-hmm. There's about to go bankruptcy. When people can't pay their bills, that rolls downhill. Let's say I owe you $1,000, right? And right. You depend on that $1,000. You say, still, I'll let you borrow that $1,000 on a promise that you would have it back. Now I can't pay my mortgage.
Right.
So now you're telling your bank, hey, I can't pay you. I'm pretty sure they have shareholders that they're accountable to too. So mm-hmm. It all rolls downhill, and all this stuff is all interconnected.
It's definitely interconnected.
It's all interconnected, because we're going to have famine, a housing crisis.
Right.
Because I look at it right now. You look at the homes in LA are getting back to where they were like maybe 10 to 15 years ago, because everybody was overpaying for stuff.
Right.
You may go buy a house for $1 million that's really worth $400,000.
Right.
In theory, really worth $400,000. Right. That's a bubble, dude. That's a false sense of having this money that you really don't have.
Exactly. Prices nationwide, this is a crazy statistic, has jumped from 11% all the way up to 13%. Just in New Jersey alone, is December 31st of 2021, they said it's over 50,000 people, a backlog of tenants not paying their rent. 50,000, that's just New Jersey. You know, when you think about our forefathers and how they thought about debt and how they thought about money, you know, Thomas Jefferson once wrote, paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Thomas Jefferson wrote. Earlier, I was really trying to get you guys to see how the Fed and the Treasury really work. And I'm going to just come out and I'm going to say it. Literally, it's a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, it's a big Ponzi scheme, just like everything else in this country. Think about the premise of Social Security, right? Mm-hmm. I look at it like this. I've given maybe $500,000 of my last estimate into the Social Security system, right? And I've seen that Social Security system say that the age of retirement, I've seen it go from 55 at one time to 60, to 65, to 67. It's a Ponzi scheme that you would never be able to collect on because they keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
They keep, you know, you go back to, you know, kick the field goal, they keep moving the goalposts, right? Because what's happening is they don't have the money anymore. They've just been taking that money from us, right? But you deduct that money from me and I go pay this money into a system that's supposed to be there for me. And there's another thing to this too. Let's say I do make that ripe old age of 67 and I retire at 67, right? I get a few checks and I die at 67 and a half, six months in. What happens to that money? It's not like my $500,000, my $500,000 that I have invested, it's just in an account somewhere with my name on it. No, that money is gone. If all my kids are of adult age, my wife don't get a check no more. Right. That money is, what we got going on, it's not more, it's theft.
Yeah. It's a Ponzi scheme.
It's a Ponzi scheme, dude. And we'll never get that money.
We'll never get that money back. So whatever happens to all of the creditors that are overseas, that we're buying their products and they're taking our American dollars and buying our worthless IOUs, which is our treasury notes, our treasury bills, all of these things, they're buying them. And they're buying billions and billions and billions of dollars of them.
Oh, Japan and China, they owe a lot. They own a lot of our debt.
Yeah, they own it because you got to understand, I explained it a little bit earlier. Okay, whatever. It's like a Ponzi scheme. A lot of you probably done seen Ponzi schemes or whatever not take place in the past. And the first people that invest, they start paying and they have to get more and more and more people to keep paying the people at the top to trickle down. But the overall person who's running the Ponzi scheme, he takes the money and then sooner or later he disappears. So, okay, when you're running over a $16, $20 trillion debt and then you continue, okay, if the Fed is sending the money to the Treasury and the Treasury is sending an IOU back to the Fed and the Treasury is selling the IOU again and a T-note and a bill, what was it really worth? Where's the money at?
It really wasn't worth nothing. It's a big Ponzi scheme. Like you said, it's an elaborate Ponzi scheme. It's an elaborate, and it has no system of accountability. Just not to get too far off the subject, but this is a very personal sore spot with me. Even with our taxation system, taxes were meant to support the war, the country in times of war.
Right.
But they kind of just kept it going, right?
Right.
They kind of just kept it going. So you pay taxes, man. Yet we have no say-so. We have no kind of accountability. Right. Like there's no accountability to it. It's just a fractured system, man.
Right. I think it was the 16th Amendment that really pretty much passed that on with taxation. And whenever it did actually come into play, you know, ironically and coincidentally, that happened the same year that the Fed was created in 1913, the exact same year. Around that time when the taxes came into play, you got to realize that, you know, this is how the government depends on its, this is its income, is through taxation. It needs tax money. Mm-hmm. Also, at the same time, it came up with monetary policies. Mm-hmm. And it came up with, you know, essentially, it was literally fiat currency. And so when a few years after the Fed was created, when they went to the Bretton Woods conference there in Massachusetts, they all of these world leaders came together. They had seen that America was this superpower and it was a manufacturing juggernaut pretty much in the war and with all of the household products that it was making. And they said, OK, well, the U.S. dollar will be tied to the gold standard. So you got to think now, forewind it all the way to 1971. Nixon comes in and says, we're going to suspend that. So the world is looking, oh, wow, the dollar is no longer attached to a physical, intrinsic, valuable thing like gold anymore. You got to think how long gold was the de facto currency of the world and grew some of the world's largest empires, just gold. Mm-hmm. And so when you say that this is no longer tied to that, you got to think you're looking at the biggest economy in the world, the biggest economy
in the world. It takes 6 yuan to make $1 US. And that's compared to our second biggest economy of the world. So all of these people are invested in this economy. And the way that this economy works is literally with the paper or the assets that we have that is literally backed by nothing. And so now you have all of these emerging technologies like Bitcoin, which is ran on blockchain, and Ethereum and ADA and all of these other things, because people really want their money to be decentralized. They don't want their money tied to anything. That's like under the Federal Reserve banking rule, for every dollar you put in the bank can loan $10 against that dollar with a 4 to 5% interest rate. So imagine if I go put $10 in the bank can loan $100 at 4%.
Yeah.
Look what they just did to my $10. So how much does that make my $10 worth?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And the thing is, because I don't want to get too far off the thing, because that's a whole nother, the financial literacy piece is a whole nother dynamic. Let me ask you a question, man, before we go. We've been here talking a while, man. Has there been any one person in your life that you thought might have been the Antichrist?
Have I thought, is there any one person?
Like in power, have you seen any one person figurehead that might have came to power at some point in history that you thought might have been an Antichrist?
From me understanding and reading history, I believe Nero.
Nero, and that mean the world would have ended a long time ago.
Yeah. I think that Nero was one of the people that I think that even at that time, around that time, that when they were writing Revelations, he was describing.
Yeah.
I believe so.
I think so, man. And that's why I really think that the person that, and I may be wrong because I don't know, I think when that time does come, it's going to be a person that was of artificial intelligent origins. I think it's going to be a person that's not really a person. I think it's going to be a person or a person that may have been fused somehow. You know, they're trying to take the conscience of somebody and
well,
put it into
the closest thing that we can look at is Elon Musk then.
Yeah, you know, because that's what it pretty much says. It's going to be an indestructible man, but he's going to appear to be a man. So you think about it. If you could transfer conscience, or let's say they have shot the person that was Antichrist and they've transferred his conscience into some other kind of indestructible being or whatever, bro, it's going to be crazy.
Well, man, you got to realize something. We're looking at it, and you got to think about it, what you just said earlier. There's going to be something that you know, it's a false image. So just imagine if the Antichrist is already here and it's not actually a man, it's already AI.
Yeah, it's real. Well, man, we don't give him a lot of game tonight, man. Y'all check back in with us next week, man. And remember, if you ain't asking questions, you're doing something wrong.
Definitely. We want all of our, you know, seekers of truth definitely to sit down and keep the conversation alive, man, definitely. And we really want you guys to really open, you know, up the conversations on so many levels and give us some feedback, man, and just let us know what you think about this topic. Are we literally living in the last days?
Yeah, and let us know, too, if you have a subject you want us to speak on. We just happen to be doing Revelations today as the opening episode. We thought it would be appropriate, but we're going to be breaking down many different things, mostly the weird and unusual.
Definitely, man. The seekers of truth, we know y'all out there, man, and I know that you guys can even inform us and enlighten us on things that we previously didn't have understanding on. So definitely, like Steele said, man, just hit us up, man, in the comments and let us know, man, some of the things that you guys may want to discuss and open up, you know, the topic, and let's get the conversation going.
Oh, for sure. We see you next week.
Peace.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.